All right.
Okay, so it is 8:20 p.m. on Thursday, October 15th. The board is coming back, reconvening to open session after a closed session. And we actually have no reportable action from our closed session. So now we will resume the business of the meeting last night. We had two requests. We are not required to take public comment freshly on items not on the agenda. We did have two people who felt that they tried to be heard and were not heard last night. So I had said that I'd offer them the opportunity to make their comment, but I don't actually see them on the line. So that was Katie Gluck and Dave Spath. So given that they're not present, I just would like to recommend that we go back to where we left off. So we had adopted two items on the consent calendar, 8.1 and 8.3. And item 8.2 and 8.4 were pulled for discussion. So I'd like to go to item 8.2, approval of the monthly financial report for 2020. And Mary, I'll let you go ahead and present that because it's your report. And then let's see if there's anything standing in between getting that approved.
Okay. We had a couple of questions last night at the meeting, so these items were pulled. For the financial reports, the comments that I heard were related to the special taxes in the revenues section, so I'll address that one first. The special taxes are separate from the apportioned property taxes. So the apportioned property taxes that come through the county each year are apportioned as an advance on taxes in July, and so that's recorded. Then the special taxes are reported differently because it's considered a special assessment. So that process goes through individually the district with the resolution that we approve and documentation that we get from the Department of Information Technology from the county. And then it gets submitted to the auditor controller's office, who then does a process. It was delayed this year because of COVID. They had some additional challenges with getting all of the information that they needed, starting with Department of Information Technology and then the auditor controller. So they did notify all of us that it would be delayed slightly. So those you would normally see on the reports that come through the county, but then flow into the district reports in October. I just received the early October report and it's not listed yet. So I believe that the month that it should be recorded is going to be next month. And they do it kind of on a mid-month date range. So those will be reported on the next financial report. Then the other point that was brought up was related to the El Cerrito contract fee and payable and reconciliation. So there's just a couple of different entries that are done, and those weren't exactly correct. So I went in and corrected those. I believe I've caught everything related to how we report the fees and report the reconciliation. And we've been going through the audit. So we just did that for last year and made some adjustments. So I believe we've caught the comments. And I'm happy to answer any other questions if there's anything else that any board member has a question on.
Yeah, I have several. Did you want to go, Julie?
No, go ahead. All right, let's just go in order. It looks like, am I missing Don or he's not on the line?
I don't see him.
All right, so just sort of sticking with the protocol, let me go to Janice first, next alphabetically.
Yeah, I've got four or five questions here, Mary. Thank you for explaining the difference between the property taxes and the special taxes.
Sure.
You show that we're almost a quarter of a million dollars light on property taxes. Is that a real number then, that we're going to get a quarter of a million dollars less than we anticipated on property taxes this year?
I do not believe so. The advance on taxes, we always receive adjustments throughout the year, and I'll just have to get kind of an idea of when they come through. But no, I don't believe that we'll be short on property taxes this year. And I can report the next time where we expect to be. We should have an estimate by then.
Okay. And then you're also showing no interest income in the first 3 months of the fiscal year?
So what happens with that, we get our first interest payment from the county in October. And
it'll show up next month. Yeah.
They do that quarterly. We can set something up that's recurring, but we don't actually receive it till October.
Okay. And then two additional questions. I'm now on page two on your expenses. And our medical waste is way, way down. Did they just not bill us for a while, or what was going on? Because everything else is at about a fourth or a third of the year, and medical waste we're paying next to nothing.
And I believe they just renegotiated something on that, and we got an update of how that's going to be billed. I think that they had been coming less often. I'll have to follow up on that one, but I can check into it, certainly.
Okay. Yeah, I just thought maybe it was a question of when they were submitting the bill. And then at the bottom of that page, you're transferring out $525,000 out of the capital account. Was that for one of the engines, or is that for the building?
The 525 is actually for, that's actually for what we anticipate being the, that is for funding the reserves. So we have a plan each year of funding the reserves, and that's the amount that we have on schedule.
We contributed to that already because we do it at the outset of the fiscal year. Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. I think those are my questions. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'm going to move to Larry next.
Yeah, I think I missed the explanation for why there's such a discrepancy between actual and budgeted for the El Cerrito contract fee. I mean, the actual is $1.1 million and the budget's $3.3 million. Did they not bill us for 2 months, or did we not pay for 2 months? So
the $3.2 million is for the entire fiscal year ending June 30th. So we're partway through the year so far.
Okay.
So this is the part, you know, this is the through October what we've paid for the fee. So okay. You'll see that increase throughout the year. And so it will be the total.
So by the budget numbers. That's where I got confused.
Okay.
The budget numbers are for the whole year,
yes.
But the actual numbers are just for 3 months.
Right. And so what that does is this column on the far right kind of tells you where you are at the percent of total budget so that you can see, you know, if we're a quarter way through the year, how are we tracking? Some things are cyclical, so they won't follow that exactly, but you can see how that's landing.
Okay. That's you answered my questions. That's fine.
I'm just noticing that we've got a question from one of the members of the audience saying, could you please enable the gallery view? I think that's you, Mary. Can you do that?
We are in the gallery view.
Yeah. I think we are in gallery view. I mean, Mary's hosting, so maybe hers makes the difference.
I see gallery view on mine.
Yeah, I think let's keep moving. We've got another long night ahead of us. So let's see, Janice, next alphabetically. Kevin, do you have any questions or comments on the monthly financial report? No. Okay, Don, you joined us late. Do you have any questions or comments on the monthly financial report? You're muted, Don. I don't know if I can unmute you.
I can.
Idea.
There we go.
Can you hear me?
Now we can. Yes.
Okay, thank you. No.
Okay, great. Now, Chief Pagoni, it looked like you had your hand raised. So now please go forward. Let us know what you were wanting to say.
Now, there was the question on the Stericycle, the medical waste.
Yes.
And Mary is correct. That was earlier this year, actually just pre-COVID in March, costs across the board for all the stations were starting to skyrocket because they were coming every month. And so we went back to them and, you know, kind of like, you know, you got to help us out here. And so we cut it down on the frequency that they come by, and they gave us a break for a couple years. They just, you know, gave us a break in the price with it. So that's why it went down.
You may
see a slight increase just because since the COVID has started, we're going through such so much more, you know, gloves and the gowns and stuff. You know, it still won't have to be once a month, but you know, we may have to bump it up a little bit more. But anyway, that's the reason. It was a renegotiated cost to save money.
Thank you.
Thanks. So folks, we do have to get public comments since this is pulled off the consent calendar, but I would like to know, if folks are satisfied, do we have a motion to approve the
financials? I have a motion to approve the monthly financials.
And do I have a second?
I'll second that motion.
Okay, and we have 7 members of the public on the line. Does anyone have a comment they'd like to make about the monthly financial report? Watching for hands raised, seeing none. You see none also, Mary?
I see none.
All right, then I'll call the vote. So I'm in favor, Kevin?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
Janice?
Aye.
Larry?
Yes.
All right, report approved. Now we move on to the policy change, 8.4. Adoption of resolution 20-18, approving amendments to policy 8, checking account. So this is the second reading, and we had a first reading at on September 9th, September 9th. We finished the September 9th meeting, but that was our first reading. And we had no suggestions for changing or modifying what Mary had proposed to us. It's mostly that not everyone on the board was in favor of the policy change.
Correct. That's why I pulled it. I intend to vote no. So I pulled it from the consent calendar. I think it's bizarre to put $1 million in a checking account.
Janice, if you don't mind, I'm trying to like just go in order. I'm happy to get your comment. If anybody wants to change the alphabetical order, happy to do so. So Don, you've been first. Do you have any comments on, so Mary, just give us the short recap of the policy because I didn't think it was $1 million, but please give us the recap if you would.
Sure. Just a couple of words were changed in the policy. It referenced manager, so we changed that to general manager in a couple of different spots and clarified some of the documentation and wording. But the main change is the checking account limit shall at no time exceed $200,000 instead of $35,000 because it has been creating a challenge with trying to get payments through when it's a lot more difficult to get them through the county.
Thanks, Mary. So I'm going to do a quick round of board member comments. Don, do you have any comments on this resolution?
No, I'm okay. No, the answer is no.
Okay, Janice, you're on.
Yeah, I pulled it because I intend to vote no. I think that's too much money in the checking account.
All right. Larry.
I have no questions.
Thank you, Kevin.
None.
All right, and I have no comment either. So let's just see before we go to the public so that they know what we might be doing. Do I have a motion to adopt resolution 2018?
Yes, I'd like to move that we adopt resolution 2018, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Kensington Fire Protection District amending policy 8 checking account.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, I think the first second came from Kevin. All right, let's see, we've got 8 members of the public in attendance. Please raise your hand if you'd like to make a public comment about the board's potential action to adopt this resolution. Going once, going twice. Not seeing any hands raised. Mary, how about you?
I do not see any.
Okay. Remember everybody, we need 4 votes to approve this because it is a policy amendment. So I vote in favor. Kevin?
Yes.
Let's see, Dom.
Yes.
Janice?
No.
Larry?
Yes.
Okay, resolution is adopted 4-1. Thank you, Mary. I hope this makes your life easier.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, you know, I'm gonna, the next on the agenda is the president's report. And I, just to be totally honest, I had a supporting document, but I didn't make it by the agenda packet deadline. So I'm just gonna push that into next month, both in the interest of time, because we're on part two of October 14th meeting, and just to do it justice. So moving on now to item 10, interim general manager's report. I will turn it over to you, Mary.
Okay, thank you. I'll cover kind of the highlights of what's been going on in the last month. As you've probably heard before, the report that I bring forward each month is the action plan, which the goals listed on the left are all of those expectations that were included in the interim general manager's contract. So each month I report what percentage I believe is complete, what are the milestones, and what are some next steps. This month has been pretty busy with the audit. The annual audit takes a lot of time. It's been going well. We have some follow-up items, and I think we should be done in another week or so. So I'm anticipating that that would come to the November meeting. So that's taken time, but we have managed to accomplish some things that we talked about already. The fire danger sign installation that went through. We just have the final inspection on the encroachment permit, and then that's done. Then we've had some additional activity on the public safety building as far as the architect taking a look at what we need to do moving forward. I anticipate that coming back in November to see what the construction drawings proposal would look like. The board authorized that several months ago. So the architect is putting that together to see what the cost is and the timeline for that. We did have a letter come in from the Property Owners Association on this, suggesting a different placement for the elevator, which I've passed on to the architect so we can have a response from him. The initial response, just quickly from him, is that we can't increase the footprint, so that exterior elevator position wouldn't be possible. But I'll have him report on that. Then we also completed the fire plug. We put out that newsletter a couple of weeks ago, and that was just about the last piece in putting together the transparency certificate of excellence package for the California Special Districts Association. So with that, we had to make a couple of updates to the website and put some additional documents out there, and then put together the application package. They just request a lot of documents, but we have submitted that, so we're waiting to hear. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be approved, but we'll wait for their response. And then we'll see what we can do on the District of Distinction. And then as far as then, I'm already to the last one, preparing for the permanent general manager, I've put more work into the administrative manual, which is kind of along with the final report that will go to the permanent general manager, so that when that person steps in, everything will be kind of all encompassing and a little bit easier to find rather than kind of stumbling across things. So it'll be a little bit quicker. So I'm happy to answer any questions if anyone has any.
Do you have any estimated completion date on the District of Distinction application?
I need to actually see what else is involved in that one. So I will follow up and let everyone know.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mary, do you know when the next meeting between you and Bill Lindsay and Chief Pagoni and Chief Shule and the architect regarding the public safety building is going to happen?
Not yet. The architect had some ideas on how to put that together. So I need to follow up with him to see. He had some suggestions on a workshop meeting, but I think we need a pre-meeting. So it should be in the next week or two.
You think it will happen by the end of the month?
I believe I could put that together.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Let me see. So Don, do you have any questions or comments for Mary? Don, do you have any questions?
Well, she knows how much I want to move this job along, and it seems to be dragging, but I think it looks like we may be making a little bit of progress. So it's not new for Mary from me giving her those comments.
Yes.
Fine. Kevin?
Nothing from me.
Mary, I just kind of have one question. First, I actually kind of thought that Bill Lindsay's email to you was really sort of out of line, and I appreciate your graciousness in responding to him. Mm-hmm. I think it was lost on most people that our board had actually directed you to engage in financing plan discussions with the KPPCSD. And you were pursuing just sort of a stepwise logical plan. First, you presented some principles to the finance committee, and we talked about it and kind of gave some comments on how you could kind of flesh that out a bit more and make it more specific. And then you brought it to the full board. And they seem to have missed the fact that the September 30th meeting was simply an extension of the September 9th meeting. So all of this had been published in the public domain on our website, not 24 hours before September 30th, but substantially even before September 9th. So I want to compliment you on your graciousness in responding to him. And I do just have, I'm sorry, maybe I'm just a lunkhead, but I just do have a really kind of concrete question for you.
Okay.
And I hope if it starts to segue into taking on a life of its own, we don't have to go there.
Okay.
But where are we in terms of an actual final opinion from the county in terms of whether the elevator and the wheelchair lift are required or not? And I know this can be one of those really sort of, well, we can't say until we figure this and that and the other. So if it's really convoluted, just tell me. But it seems like we're proceeding as though an elevator and wheelchair lift are needed.
So could I help with this?
No, my question,
Mary,
is
to would you Mary. Mind if I help with this?
No, my question is to Mary, and she can ask you if she wants you to chime in.
I did ask her.
It's my question, Don.
Yes. So the indications from the meetings and verbal communications with the county are that it would be required. They've essentially told the architect that. Bring the plans back with the up to code, which is an elevator, and they'll look at approving them. So what my plan is when next month we bring back the proposal for the construction drawings to see what that would take is to have a presentation by the architect, because he'd be at this meeting to give an update and to see if we've made any traction. They haven't responded because they've been so the county. Anything in writing because they've been so busy. So I will have him make a presentation at the next meeting.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, anybody, do we need another round of board member comments? Okay, are there any public comments? We don't want to turn this into Q&A because we've got quite a bit ahead of us tonight. But if there's any member of the public who would like to make a comment on Mary's general manager report, please raise your hand. All right, I see right now one hand raised by two people, it looks like, Paul and Vita Doro. Mary, maybe you can let them speak.
Yeah, okay. I think they are unmuted.
Okay, thank you very much, Mary. Yes. I thought that Don had something to say. I'm not sure if that was the case, but if he did, I would like to hear it.
I offered the opportunity and he didn't jump back in. I offered the opportunity.
I think I was welcome.
But I offered the opportunity for another round of board member questions. If we want to go around again, speak up. Go for it, Don.
Well, she did a good way to explain it. The way they work, the way the building inspectors work, is that they basically don't approve anything. And so they will say, in this case, you have to meet the accessibility code. And that's it. So you can ask them to do something else, but that's their stand. So it's a little frustrating because you don't get a clear answer. They depend upon the building code, and that's what we have to meet. And so they don't go through a lot of language about this or that. But what has happened is that once the elevator was picked up, then the accessibility for all the building was picked up. So in other words, all the restrooms, all the stairways, all those spatial sort of things that you have with accessibility and ramps and so forth. So that's where we are now. So it's just not an elevator, it's all of the aspects of accessibility in the building. Thank you, Don.
This is Mary's report, but since we started another round of board member comments on Mary's report, Janice, did you have anything to add?
No.
Larry?
Nothing for me, no.
Kevin?
I wanted to join you in thanking Mary for the grace in her reply to Bill Lindsay, which I thought his letter was unprofessional and claiming malfeasance where none was there. A simple phone call, I think, would have been professionally able to solve it. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
Yeah, since we're going around again, I mean, he sent it to his entire board and then published it in the packet for the extra little oomph. And so thank you again, Mary, for being gracious and professional, as always.
Certainly.
All right. I see another hand. Cyrus, comment on the general manager's report.
All right.
Am I unmuted?
Yes, you are.
Oh, so, you know, I just wanted to also say thank you. And I should just point out that actually the KPPCSD board has been aware of that your board's been at the nib about financing. So this should not have been a surprise to them. It's actually been brought up prior to this letter and prior to the September meeting, as you know, board member comments, that financing was a concern of the fire district board.
Thank you for your comment, Cyrus. Any further public comments? There's still a hand raised by Paul and Vita Doro. I don't know if that's another comment or just the hand hasn't been lowered.
Oh.
Hands lowered. All righty. Great. Thank you very much, Mary.
All right. Thank you.
Much appreciated. So, okay, we are on to Chief Pagoni's report. And I just want to remind you, we had a couple questions from last night. If you think that you can address them, maybe without spending a whole lot of time, we said that we'd ask you to take them on in your report. One was about, I think it was,
the drone.
Where's the drone, and is it being used for fire spotting during red flag days? And the other was a much more detailed question, I think, that might become an agenda item of its own, but you might touch on it, which was protocols for evacuation. If we have to evacuate, should we lock our houses, leave the lights on? Like, what do we do? But now let me turn it over to you.
Okay. Good evening. So you do have, or you got the incident report that was approved earlier. If there's some good news out there, people or the emergencies in Kensington last month were way down. There was a total of 19 calls within the community, which was like 10 less calls than the month before. Kind of surprising, being with all the fires and the smoke. We kind of thought we'd get some more smoke checks, but maybe the smoke just kept people nice and quiet and not moving around a lot. So our medicals were down, calls in general were down. Same for, overall in the district, Engine 65 actually, it responded to 45 total calls. And that was down, I think like 9 calls from last month. So the other good news, no real fires, no major property losses or anything, major happening in the community. So all of that is really good for it. One of the things on the chief's report, of course, you heard last night was the vegetation management is ongoing. We had the only the 2 forced abatements of which the board passed last night for so that we can go to the county to get the district or to get the costs returned back to you for that. So, the good news again, the good takeaway there is that, I forget the total number, Captain Carry On talked about last night, but we had a terrific number of, initial citations this year. And, we did have almost 100% compliance, just minus the 2. So that part was really good. Statewide fire, conditions right now, what was going on a week or actually for about the last month and a half has been very obvious. We are still in red flag right now until I think 11 a.m. unless it gets extended tomorrow morning. Good news for the fire department is, we had engines, the OES engine returned last week. It had been out solid for 46 days, a new record for how many days in a row it's been out. Started out down in below Monterey, moved upwards and ended up over in the Fresno Madera area before it came home. Actually, I take that back. From there, it went to the Glass Fire and then came home. So, a record number, but everybody's home, everybody's safe. A lot of crews we went through there, no COVID exposure. So, very successful as far as that part went. This month, I think I talked about this last night a little bit, this is fire prevention month. Again, unfortunately, due to the COVID, there's not, we're not gonna be doing the open house. We'll hopefully still do some drive-by things for the schools or for the preschools as they ask. But we're not going to be able to do the normal, go in and let them jump up and down on the engine, the close exposure. So, that's kind of a sad part that's happening. The other, as we talked before, in an effort to lower our overtime, the city approved hiring 3 people, but we're actually hiring 4 because we've had the vacancies since January for the one paramedic that resigned and went to San Diego. 2 of those, or we've actually have hired all 4 of them. 2 of them have cleared background in medical and psychological and are actually starting this coming Monday. The other 2 are on a conditional hiring. So they are in the middle of their backgrounds and psychological evaluations right now. Hopefully they, definitely before the end of the year, I'm hoping by mid November, we will have all 4 of them on board with it. So the only other thing there is the CWS that I put on there every single month with it. Again, the community of Kensington needs to be very proud as far as the amount of people compared to other communities and cities in the county. Kensington by far, outshines in how many people we have signed up for it. So that's a good news. As far as questions from last night, the one on the evacuation, you're correct. That could go into a long discussion if the district wishes to adopt a checklist or recommendations. I actually got an email from her because I believe she said she had a PTA meeting tonight, so she couldn't be at the meeting. And so she asked if I could just let her know. Her biggest thing concerned about was what, you know, lock or don't lock. As I explained to her, if you look at, you know, like FireWise or you look at Ready for Wildfire, you know, most of your checklists tell you to leave the lights on in your house and leave your doors unlocked when you leave. Purpose of that is because if police show up or fire shows up, it makes it very easy for us to search the house and make if we're in an evacuation, makes it very easy for us to get in and make sure that everybody's evacuated. If, you know, if we're dealing with ember casts or the fire blows through, and if something starts inside the house, you know, through a window, through whatever, again, makes it very easy for us to get into it. However, you know, we're dealing, you know, part of what we're dealing with right now is trying, you know, we're talking about early evacuation. We're talking about, you know, potentially leaving if not, you know, if you don't, even if there's not an evacuation order out there, you could be looking at a long, I mean, that could be 2 or 3 days of your house sitting there unlocked, you know. And so while it can be argued back and forth, you know, my personal recommendation is, you know, you're gonna be a feel a whole lot better, a lot more secure if your house is locked. And quite honestly, if we have a need to get into the house, we know how to get in. you know, I mean, it might take us a few extra seconds, but you know, we have the means to get into a house if we truly have to get in an emergency, you know. So, you know, I sent her that email. You know, there's all sorts of things that one could do, but you know, if you want to rely on the national checklists that are out there, such as I said, with FireWise and Ready for Wildfire, which is the Ready, Set, Go campaign, you know, they say keep them unlocked, you know, and that makes sense. If you're doing an emergency, you know, the fire's at the back of the house and you're going out the front. But you know, with an early evacuation, I think you're better locking it. You know, you're just going to feel better. We also had a question about the drone. They wanted to know if we were flying the drone, during red flags, looking for fires. The short answer to that is no. I mean, you know, the drone has limited flight time. You know, to bring it, I mean, to sit there and try to fly it all day, you know, would be quite an endeavor. And, you know, I mean, the area is quite large. You know, we do have the other cameras that we can look through. What we are using it for is when people are, you know, saying they see smoke in, you know, in the canyon or someplace that, you know, we do not have a good view. You know, we're launching it to get a view in certain areas. Drones are not designed to, you know, sit there and fly, you know, fly search pattern. I mean, you know, day in and day out, like, you know, during this red flag, you know, going around flying it, you know, and I mean, and as I said, you know, the more we fly it, the more chances we have of you know, crashing it or losing it, you know, having a failure on it. The other problem, and quite honestly, we get this every time we do fly it. When people see us flying it and it's going over their house, or we're, you know, especially up on the ridge line, you know, we're checking, you know, seeing what we can see in the canyon, we actually get a number of people that I'm not sure the way to describe it, but they basically think we're invading their privacy. And if there's a true fire, or we're truly, you know, as we did a couple months ago when we had the missing person at night and we were doing the night ops with it, you know, that, I mean, that's an easy thing to explain, you know, that we have a report. You know, again, if we were to try to fly it day in and day out during red flag times looking for fires, you know, it just leads to more people complaining. And, you know, quite honestly, you know, I'm not sure without an exact target to look at, you know, an exact area, you know, it's not the best use of our time, you know, let alone that having to bring the people back in for it. So that's basically the answer for that. Already talked about the trash. I wrote a note down with that, you know, about the renegotiating on that. The other real fabulous news, it's been a long time coming. We've had everything from tariffs to COVID to slow up the new engine. The new engine is complete. They are running this week. They're doing all the pump tests and the electrical, I call it burn-in tests, you know, testing all the lights and doing the drive tests. And our committee, our apparatus committee, is going over next Tuesday or Wednesday. I'll just say next week. They're going over there next week for a couple days, put it through its paces, go through the specs, make sure everything is, you know, everything's working. And I mean, they've been going over there, but I mean, this will be the first time when it's complete. And if everything's looking good, they will be bringing it at home. Unless they find some little repairs, you know, little things that need adjusting, then the company will bring it to us, you know, the following week. So while they're over there, they'll be putting the training, the orientation together, and, you know, providing all, you know, when all the equipment gets here for it that's on order, you know, we'll basically get it in service. And then the other one we will put out there and start taking bids on getting the other one sold. You know, we have some websites where we can sell it. Plus I probably get a phone call a week of people that know we're getting this new one that want to buy the old one. So, you know, we will get that taken care of for it. The other good news too is we are coming in under budget, which was surprising, just because of the delays and the, you know, few price increases we had due to some change orders we did. As you know, we put a down payment on it for consideration of discounts. And, you know, the good thing is because it's taken us long, we've had some options, you might say, some little add-ons that we're not being charged for, some different things that have come up that we wanted added to it to make it a little bit more, just give it a little bit more options or things to use for it. So, like I said, we will be under budget, as well as we've gotten some savings on some add-ons with it. So I think I covered everything that was on the things that came up, the extra stuff. If not, throw the question.
Yeah, I think you did, but let's take a round of board member comments, questions. Don, start with you.
Oh, thank you. Good to see it. The engine coming. Can hardly wait.
All right. Janice.
Lots of good news. Thank you, Chief.
You're welcome.
Larry.
I ditto that. Good to hear about the engine finally getting here. It's taken a while, but sometimes good things take a long time. Congratulations, Chief.
Thank you.
They don't necessarily come in small packages, though, Larry.
It takes long enough as it is, and nothing like a tariff to let you know where some of our, well, basically international, where they get a lot of their parts to build these things. You can tell what country the stuff comes from, because that's what held things up a little bit. But yes, it is good news.
Kevin.
Yeah, trade wars are good and easy to win, I believe someone said. Michael, thank you so much for all your forbearance and effort. It's just amazing. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome.
I just have what's probably a really dumb question, but when the OES engine is out on deployment for such long periods of time, do the local fire stations or firehouses where, you know, the engine is closest to, do they make room for the firefighters who are staffing that engine? Or so how does that work exactly?
Well, for every other day they're out. You mean you're talking about where do they sleep?
Yeah, exactly. Where do they live?
I mean, when they are on duty, or when, what we call it, you're either assigned or you're not assigned. Typically you're on for 24 hours, you're off for 24 hours. when you're on for 24 hours, you catch a nap any place you can on, you know, when during the middle of the night, you know, if you're not actually on the line, I mean, you know, in other words, you're physically doing things, you're doing more monitoring and patrolling as the things calm down at night. People take turns getting a little cat nap in, but you know, for the most part, you don't sleep. On your unassigned days, if we're lucky, the incident, when we go back to the base camps, the incidents will get us a hotel. Used to, and they still have them, we just are not using them. They have what they call sleep trailers, which is like taking, if anybody's been in a submarine, they would be reminded of it. They're very long trailers. They're actually nice, but they shove 48 people in them. They have, they're air conditioned. They have separate bunks. You know, they're stacked up like a bunch of four high bunk beds down both sides of a 40-foot long trailer. Great air exchange. You know, I mean, they're really nice. But you know, in light of what's going on, people are a little bit leery to want to stay in them. So the district, or I should say, the fire department, if the incident doesn't pick up a hotel and they can find a hotel, and everybody on the strike team wants to go to the hotel, we cover the costs because of this COVID for it, but we try to get the incident to pay for it.
Thanks for the explanation on the drone. And I just have a follow-up question. Is Joe Gagne still, is he back in action on staffing the drone?
Oh, yes.
I know that he was our point person on that.
He's now working at 71. We have, because he was at 65. It responds. We actually have, I believe we have 4 people right now, and we're working again, whenever we get to the point we can start having in-person, bringing outside instructors in, we are going to train some more. But I believe we have 4 right now that are licensed to fly it. And of course, the other thing, which I had talked with Mary back when we were doing the budget, it's a very low dollar item, but, you know, I was talking about the batteries. We do need to get the new batteries for it, of which she had said that's just kind of a little equipment purchase. It's not a big dollar item. But we haven't got around to getting that done, but we do have to do that. They have newer batteries now that last a little bit longer. Plus we want to get a what they call a 4-gang charger. It has, right now we have only the ability to do charge one battery at a time. They make a charger, we can drop 4 batteries in so that you're not waiting so long for, to charge up another battery, but we will get that purchased.
All right, so it looks like we have a hand up with the public. We don't wanna get too much into Q&A because this is just a report, but we will take comments. And so it looks like Paul and Vita Doro again have a hand up. So maybe you can, let them go forward.
I unmuted.
Well, yes, thank you very much, Chief, for your explanation. So I'm still puzzled to know why we spent $15,000 of taxpayers' money for a fancy toy that's not being utilized for anything to save this community. So can you tell me what was the rhyme and reason before getting this drone, where it's parked, and what it's being utilized for?
This is just a public comment, but if you want to make a brief response, that's probably fine.
I can keep it very brief. First offhand, it is not a toy. It is a $15,000 tool. The biggest cost in that is the camera.
That you're not using.
Yeah, as far as fire equipment is concerned, it's probably not even cheaper. So, but anyway, it's used in emergencies, just like anything else. It was never bought to be a patrol vehicle. It was bought to be used for reports of fires. It was bought to be used for search and rescue, and that is what we use it for. It was never purchased. It was never intended to be a patrol vehicle. And again, it is not a toy.
go around again for another round of board member comments if anybody has anything to add. Don?
No.
Janice? No. Larry?
No, no comment.
Kevin?
Not for the present, thank you.
Well, I just want to add that at National Night Out last year in 2019, Joe Gagne came to Ardmore, and it was right before his medical incident. And he showed quite a few of us videos of operating the drone, and he gave us a lot of information about how drones can be used and not used, and the kinds of regulations. I think we've talked about this at a board meeting before, but you know, you have to follow, if I'm correct, FAA regulations on using the drone. Privacy is a huge consideration, and the degree of licensing and training to be able to actually operate the drone is non-trivial. So I agree with you that it's not a, I mean, I'm not even an expert, but I agree with you that it's not a toy, and that it's a crucial piece of equipment that aids our fire department, and you also use it to help the police department as needed. So,
we had Joe put on a demonstration up at the Kensington Park, where we had 30 or 40 people up there, and he flew the drone around and showed what it could do. And at the last two CSDA conferences, they've had special drone presentations on the use of drones for communities. And it isn't a toy.
I think it's a step forward, not something for fun. So anyway, I don't see any other hands raised from the public. So thank you very much, Chief Pagoni, for that report. Thank you, for board members, for your comments.
You know, Julie, maybe we ought to tell Michael to go home and go to bed.
Oh, absolutely, Janice. Well, let me just see, though. Let's just give him a chance here, because...
I am home.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Well, you know...
The meeting, yeah.
The next two items, I just want to give him the opportunity about whether he wants to engage in the discussion, because I think the fire department's perspective is pretty crucial on these items if we're going to get through it in the next 45 minutes. One is about the parking changes, and the other is about the traffic load. So both of these, we thought we went through them on September 30th, but they're back. And so I leave it up to you, Michael.
I'm good. I mean, just proceed with it, and I'll chime in as needed or if there's questions. So.
All right, all right.
Good to roll with this.
All right, all right. And I would like to remind the board that this is a reconvening of an adjourned meeting. As far as I know, we don't have a policy that governs how long or how short we can go. And any board member at any time can make a motion to adjourn the meeting. But I would ask that we select a date and time to adjourn to, so that we don't have the kind of craziness that we went through at the one time that we didn't make that specification. So having said that, we are now on administrative items 12, 12.1 and 12.2. 12.1 is to consider revised motion regarding support for investigation of potential changes in some parking configurations on Kensington streets in conjunction with the KPP CSD, and for solicitation of residents' concerns, along with education about potential threats during an evacuation. And this is noted as an action item. And there is a supporting document that is not attributed to anyone in particular. So whoever, if this is your item, speak up.
This item has been brought up before, as everyone knows. Mary, can you please share your screen on page 45 of the agenda packet?
Sure.
Did you say Mary or Larry?
I said Mary, Larry. I'm
sorry. Oh, okay.
Okay, let's see.
I mean, I know everybody has it in front of them easily. I mean, if they can just go to that page. The motion actually says it all. This is coming back because the board wanted a change in wording. The wording has been changed. Point one here at the bottom of the page is a first attempt at that, but the motion that Julie just read is the motion that we're asking for. This is very simple. Either the board approves it or not. It doesn't matter if you approve it in one sense because the work will go ahead already. But the important thing is that the police would like support and the county would like to see that there is support for investigating parking changes and educating the populace in conjunction with the police and fire. So I move to accept the motion as Julie read it.
Well, there's an agenda item that has, describes the agenda item, but then what you're showing on the screen are two different motions. And I thought that number two, I thought the board had already passed a motion about the educational video.
Yes, I just said that. Yes, you're right.
So do you want us to look at number one in this report, or do you want us to look at the agenda package?
So what I just said is that the motion that you read is the motion that I think should be before us, because they both say essentially the same thing, but let's take what's on the agenda item and vote yes or no on that. I moved the motion forward. I think Larry was going to second.
I did second that, yeah.
So can you just do me a favor, Kevin, because Mary's got to capture this for the minutes. Because the board says consider revised motion. What is the revised motion? So could you just read your motion or state your motion?
Yes, it was the motion that you just read.
It's right there in front of us.
It says a revised motion regarding. It doesn't say what the motion is.
What did you just read, Julie?
Kevin, just state your motion
what did you just read?
I said consider revised motion, which we don't know what that is, regarding support for investigation of potential changes in some parking configurations on Kensington streets in conjunction with KPPCSD and for solicitation of residents' concern along with education about potential threats during an evacuation. But
okay, great. That's
what
fine.
Is
okay,
the revised motion?
The motion that was made and the motion that I seconded is paragraph one on the bottom of page 45, which is being shown on our screen right now.
Thank you, Larry. That's what I was trying to ask Kevin for clarification about.
Well, actually, that isn't what I moved. And I think that what you read under item 12.1, to revise that, it should simply take out the first four words and say that the board will support investigation of potential changes in some parking configurations in Kensington streets in conjunction with, actually that should read Kensington Police Department. And for solicitation of residents' concerns along with education about potential threats during evacuation. That would be the motion. Larry, do you still second it?
Yeah, read it one more time, Kevin. I didn't realize you'd edited it on the fly here.
No, just the first four. I think Julie's absolutely right. The revised motion is confusing. It just should say the board will support the investigation of potential changes in some parking configurations on Kensington streets in conjunction with the Kensington Police Department and for solicitation of residents' concerns along with education about potential threats during an evacuation.
Okay, great. I'll second that. Mary, did you get that?
I got it, yes.
Good.
All right, let's go around. Thank you guys for clarifying that. I hope you can understand why I wasn't sure what you were moving. So
you're right, Julie. Sorry, that's entirely my fault. You're right.
All right, thanks. So let's go around for board member comment. Start with Don.
I'm for it. And I think we've solved some of that problem I had about where we were actually directing traffic, whereas it's police that's responsible for those sorts of things. So it's a joint effort thing. I don't know how it'll turn out, but I'm saying yes.
All right, thank you. Janice?
I'm not sure why we're doing this and what we think we're achieving with this. My street is one of the streets that's involved in this, and we're very supportive of the effort that the police chief and Officer Harms are doing in working with us on coming up with a mutually agreeable solution. So my inclination is to leave the police department alone and not meddle in what they're doing and what their objective is. So I think my inclination is to vote no, unless you tell me what you think we're achieving with this, other than meddling.
Thank you, Janice. Larry, you're next alphabetically.
Okay, yeah, I can answer that. The police department requested this. And the reason we're doing this is simply to show that the police department and the fire department are in agreement with the need to change parking at the beginning in these first six streets, because that was the easiest, but eventually all over town to improve evacuation. So we're just basically putting in a motion what has been in action between cooperation between Officer Brad Harms and Chief Schuld, and Chief Pagoni, and Battalion Chief Joe Capallo. They've been working on this all along, and this simply expresses our solidarity with the police department and our cooperation and collaboration. There's no hidden agenda here. We're just saying together we're doing this, and the police department thought that this would be a good idea. Also, Supervisor John Gioia, in a recent joint meeting on the same subject, suggested that the county would support evacuation plans as long as the local police department and fire department supported those plans. So this is just proof that we do indeed support the evacuation plans that are being developed jointly with the police department.
Thank you, Larry. Kevin.
No, you go ahead, Julie. In case there are questions I can answer, I don't have to talk twice.
Well, I do have a couple comments. Maybe I will go in backwards order from what I had planned. So Larry, it's my understanding that John Gioia's office, as the final product of this community engagement exercise, they've apparently decided without consulting the boards formally, the fire board or the community service district board, they've apparently decided that if each board passes a resolution of support for these parking changes, and a resolution is different than a motion, it's far more formal, that they would put those resolutions onto the consent calendar of the County Board of Supervisors. And they anticipated that the supervisors might adopt these changes on a consent calendar, but of course there's no guarantee. But my understanding is that was the end product that they're looking for after community engagement. And so I tend to agree with Janice. I've actually had an unexpected opportunity to talk to members of the police department. They said that they're working really hard on engaging the residents on the affected streets.
Yes, they are.
They said that emotions are running high, which is something they weren't expecting. And they couldn't actually figure out why emotions were running so high, because they said from their perspective that if any given street doesn't want to do this, they said from the police department perspective, they're just going to move on and because their list of things to implement for evacuation is a really long list, like painting blue strips on streets so that we can all look down if the streets are filled with smoke and figure out how to get down the hill. So they said, we're not going to force anything on anybody. And if we go through our engagement process and only 3 out of 6 or 4 out of 6 or 2 out of 6 of, you know, the affected groups of residents are willing to do this, that's what they're willing to go for. So I kind of agree with Janice, just let the police department do its work. It seems that people are very happy with how the police department's doing its work on this community engagement right now. And, you know, someone asked me, why do you think the emotions would be running so high? And I kind of referenced back to what I think I saw in the letter from the Windsor residents, that based on the communication from Supervisor Joya's office, it looks like 6 people in Kensington, 3 on our board and 3 on the other board, can make these changes top down unilaterally for this very large group of residents. So I can't blame them for feeling kind of emotional about the largest investment that probably most of them have in their lives. And I just think it's better to stand back and give them some space, let the police department do its thing. Everything I've been reading on Nextdoor is that Chief Schuld is doing a great job in working with folks and being extremely thoughtful. So for me, I just feel like let's get out of the way and let him do his thing.
So if I may answer those things, I've been talking a lot and working very closely with Chief Schuld and Officer Harms, as has been Larry. I don't think that majority rule on any street is going to win the day. One problem with that is if you live on Windsor or York or St. Albans, you have a strip of, you know, a couple hundred feet with 18, 20 cars, people trying to get out. Basically, if you screw up your parking and slow down everything, that's going to hurt the other people on your street. If you think that's okay, you know, maybe we could think that's okay, but if someone lived on that street that thought it wasn't okay because they could easily be in a very bad position, I would tend to listen to that. However, one thing I'm quite sure about from both the police and from John Joya's office is that streets that have to function as main arteries, it is much more difficult to get people to just say, well, I don't want to change my parking, when it means that to get out, they will have to do K-turns, they will have to load, pack, turn around, stall everybody coming from up above. Our fire chief understands this, our police understand this, anyone who's looked at it understands this. It's going to be far more problematic for streets like parts of Coventry and Ardmore, which are going to be 2 of our 3 major west exits in the northern part of town. So I don't have that same experience you have, Julie, and if someone said that, I think it would be publicly very dangerous for that to happen. Again, to echo Larry, the 2 boards are not voting to determine anything. The county determines what happens. All we are doing, and this resolution says it clear as day, I hope, that we just support the investigation and the education of people doing this. And if you don't want to support it, don't support it. That's fine.
I just want to clarify, we don't have a resolution before us.
That's correct. There's no resolution. This is just a motion that the board will support it.
Right, but it's not the end product that Joya's office has asked for.
No one asked for an end product. No one asked anyone, as far as I'm concerned, for a resolution this week or last month or 3 months ago. I mean, if they come back to us and write a formal request for a resolution, I mean, let's deal with that then.
Well, it was in Kate Rausch's memo that was published. I don't know if it's been republished in this packet, but it was in our September 9th packet. Kate Rausch was really clear that John Joya said that if each board, KPP, CSD, and KFPD, adopted a resolution of support, that he would take those resolutions and put them on the agenda in the consent calendar of the County Board of Supervisors. And he thought that would kind of fly through and the county would change the parking. So but I'm just responding to what-
Don't you think that's way down the road? Because I mean, we're still gathering information. It's exactly what this resolution says. We want to get citizens' input. We want to explain and educate the project. This is no time for a resolution.
Well, I think that's kind of what, maybe Janice, I don't want to speak for you, Janice, but that's kind of what, like, I was trying to say is that the end product of this would potentially be a resolution, but the intermediate process that's going on seems to be a really productive process of engagement between the police department and our residents. And I'm not really sure that they need us. It's just my personal opinion that I don't know that they need us to push them along. They seem to be doing okay on their own with lots of great feedback from the residents.
Julie, I have two comments. First of all, yes, right now the fire department, the police department, and the residents are going great guns at this. We aren't meddling with the police department. We're working with the police department, so that collaboration is already happening. All this really says is that the board approves of this collaboration that's happening, or endorses it, or supports it. The other thing is that I think you're misinterpreting what Kate said and what John Joya said at the meeting. John Joya said that the supervisors are not going to specify the traffic, how traffic flows within a particular jurisdiction. They will not do that. He said that very clearly. He said that is up to the local police department and the local fire department. Now, once the supervisor, John Joya, is convinced that the police department and the fire department are behind these traffic regulations, then he will support it and help it through the county machinery to get the work done. So it wasn't that he was saying, okay, I'm going to pass this resolution. He was saying, I'm not going to do anything until you guys show me that this is what Kensington wants. And once I know that this is what Kensington wants, I will help you with it. That was what he said in the meeting. And that's what I thought Kate was saying in what she said there. And I think this end product talk and this resolution talk, I think, is way premature. We just need, John doesn't want to do anything if he's not convinced that both the police department and the fire department are behind it. And I think I can say at this point that they are, and they're working together on getting the job done. So all we're asking this district to do is say, great, we support you.
Call the question, please.
Hang on, Kevin, because we need to get public comment on the motion. So sorry, I was looking up. I mean, Kate was very specific in what she put in writing. The Community Services District General Manager didn't share Kate Rausch's memo with its board, but Mary thankfully shared it with our board. And it was very clear that Joya is looking for a resolution of support from both boards. But let's, we can't vote on this until we get public comment. So let's do that. We have one hand raised from Paul and Vita Doro. Mary, maybe you could unmute them.
They are unmuted. Hello?
Go ahead.
There you go.
Yes, it's Vita Doro. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Kevin's motion is not debatable. If you recall, Jenny, as the president of the board back in 1991, I came to you and asked for the same thing, for the endorsement of the fire board in turning the traffic on the three cul-de-sacs, York, Windsor, and St. Alban. You enthusiastically supported it with, I believe it was a unanimous vote of your board. I then went to the KPP CSD board and they too endorsed it. I wrote a letter to every resident on those three streets and had only two negative comments about losing a parking space on St. Alban. So the police chief took it to the county. The county's final ruling was that there is a blind spot at the beginning of York Avenue, which is inherently dangerous, and so they vetoed it. So if you are going to pass another motion, I think you have to go back and rescind the motion back in 1990, or I believe it was 1991, Jenny. Thank you.
Okay. I guess, are there any other public comments on this? I see a hand raised, Cyrus.
There you go. Cyrus, you're unmuted.
So this is an awkward position. I'm not speaking for the board, and I'm just going to make comment in that I believe in some ways this whole process was that you guys did the traffic study, you brought it to the police brought it to the KPPCSD, the KPPCSD said the police could go and look into this. So, I mean, in some ways it sounds like it's already going, and this just seems to be creating more superfluous confusion than it is helping the situation. And it sounds like if you already had supported the video, in some ways, you know, you're part of the process, or the fire department is part of the process in some shape or form. And I'm sort of going to echo Director Kosol's opinion that, you know, maybe we should let the process play out with what the police are doing so far with their community engagement and then move from there. But that's just my completely personal opinion of this, of the situation.
Thanks, Cyrus. You know, I did find Kate Rausch's memo, and she says, there was discussion of how to decide whether to make the parking changes. Need a neighborhood majority of support? If so, what is the majority? Can or should the changes be done without this? Board of Supervisors needs to pass a traffic resolution in order for the changes to be effective as a consent item. Supervisor Joya said he would support as long as both the KPPCSD and KFPD boards adopt resolutions of support. The resolutions can be placed on Board of Supervisors' agenda pretty quickly after the district boards pass their own resolutions of support. Important to act quickly since it is fire season. So next steps identified, discussion by district boards and community neighborhood outreach. So anyway, I'm gonna go around for one more round of board member comments, then we can vote. So Don, anything else to add?
No. I mean, after hearing all of this, it's a beginning. It sounds like it's going to be done in a smart way and not try to push it. And I still am yes.
Okay, thank you. Janice.
I'm gonna vote no. My block has voted 29-2 in opposition, and we are working with Officer Harms for our alternative solutions. And I think productively so. For example, nobody parking on the street on Windsor at all on red flag days. You park in your garage or you park in your driveway, pointed out. And that would alleviate the problem of people having to turn around. So we're discussing possible alternatives. And I think this actually inhibits the process rather than facilitates it. So I will vote no.
Thank you, Janice. Larry.
Well, I disagree with Janice. I don't think this inhibits it. This simply endorses the process that's already in place that the fire department and the police department collectively are working on evacuation plans. And I wholeheartedly support the collaboration that's going on. I've never seen more cooperation between the police department and the fire department in the time that I've been on this board. And I think the fact that we're not willing to say that, hey, it's a good, let's have the police department and the fire department work on this problem together. If we're not willing to say that, I don't know what message you're sending, but I don't like it. So I'm definitely gonna vote yes for this motion.
Kevin.
I agree entirely with Larry.
Well, I'm more attuned to what Janice has to say. The other night, I took a walk on Windsor. All three cul-de-sacs, just to kind of see what things look like. I noticed lots of driveways with no cars parked in them. I noticed cars on the street that potentially, I don't know the situation, potentially could have been parked in driveways. I saw some cars that had taken it, the owners had taken it upon themselves to stay on the side of the street where they had to legally park, but point out toward Westminster. And I've just heard nothing but good things about the engagement that the police department is already doing. So I'm not a big fan of passing motions that don't have any teeth. And I think that the discussion here tonight has been 100% in support of the efforts of the police department. I think a bottom-up approach is far more palatable to the community than a top-down approach. I think telling people that they don't know what's good for them doesn't sit with them very well. So I like the way the police department is approaching this. And I just think I'm more in favor of a hands-off approach to it because I think they're doing a great job. And I think we should have a community meeting to actually learn about, you know, what did they find out and what kind of education, like did they enlighten some folks where maybe they accomplished some education about parking on red flag days that would not necessitate these sort of drastic year-long changes, where people could become more aware of their situation. So anyway, I'm also gonna vote no on this motion because I don't think it has any teeth. So I will call the vote and I'm first and I just said, I'm gonna vote no. Kevin.
I'm voting yes.
Let's see, Don.
We are voting again?
We haven't voted yet.
Yes, I'm voting yes.
Larry. Oh, yes. Sorry. Janice.
No.
Larry.
Yes.
All right. Well, the motion carries 3-2. And our next item is, so we have, I just want to touch base with the board. We've got 16 minutes left. And One thing I think that is clear is that we're going to have to deal with another motion to adjourn to a specific date and time. So I want to allow enough time for that so that we get it right. And someone may choose to make a motion to extend the meeting past 10 p.m. I can't predict whether that'll happen. So we've got item 12.2 ahead of us and the board reports. And item 14, which I think we don't have sufficient information to act upon at this time. So just gonna throw it out there. Do you folks wanna proceed to item 12.2? Does someone wanna make a motion to extend the meeting?
May I please move to adjourn, Julie?
Certainly. But I really wanna—
Did you say adjourn?
Yes.
But we want to adjourn, I think. I'm only gonna vote for a motion to adjourn if it's to a specific date and time. We discussed October 23rd at 3 p.m.
That's fine.
You discussed when now?
We discussed October 23rd at 3 p.m.
Oh, is that Saturday?
No, that's the Friday at 3 p.m.
Oh, you said that was okay with you, Larry.
The same one that we're meeting with.
Closed, yeah.
Rachel.
Session, yes.
Yeah. Okay,
so Kevin, can you restate your motion, please?
Yes, please. Can we? I move to adjourn the meeting until Friday the 23rd at 3 p.m. or whatever time is correct to accommodate the closed session. I don't know if we are voting.
Well, I think that what we need to do is be specific about when we will reconvene.
So three, if we have both meetings at 3 p.m., we're okay because the one meeting is inside the other.
It's all part of one same meeting.
That's great. 3 p.m. Thank you.
Okay, so the motion is to adjourn this meeting to October 23rd at 3 p.m. Do I have a second?
Second.
Janice is second. All right, any board member discussion about that motion?
If we can get this done in 15 minutes, why don't we do it?
Thanks for your comment, Don. Janice, do you have any comment?
No.
Larry?
It seems to me we have like 10 minutes worth of work left, but on the other hand, we're already meeting on the 23rd anyway, so I'm fine with adjourning now.
Kevin.
I agree with Larry.
And I'm also fine with adjourning. I think that we've worked really hard the last 2 days of this week, as well as last week, as well as the week before. And I think we do better when our brains are a little more rested. So do we have any public comment on our motion to adjourn this meeting to October 23rd at 3 p.m.? All right, I'm seeing no hands raised. So just to make sure that everybody's clear, what this means is if this motion passes, we'll come back to revisit this exact same agenda on October 23rd at 3 p.m. It'll be part three of the October 14th regular meeting of our board. We'll have to go back to some of the agenda items that we didn't fully resolve. And we'll try to finish, we'll see how far we get. So we'll post a notice of adjournment if the motion passes. And I will call the vote. So I'm in favor, Kevin?
Yes.
Don?
Okay, it better be short.
What had better, well, anyway, that was yes. So
yes.
Janice?
Aye.
Larry?
Yes.
All right, the motion to adjourn till October 23rd at 3 p.m.
Thank you
to everyone who attended our meeting, and we'll see you then, October 23rd.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Julie.
Thanks. You, everybody.
Have a very good evening.
You too, Mary, and a good weekend.
Yes, you too.
At this point, Mary's an expert in scheduling Zoom meetings.
I'm getting there.
Ha ha ha.
Good night.